Omega Man Radio has been commissioned to invade deep into enemy territory, drive out the hosts of hell, and take back the land. Our mission is to preach Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the only name written under heaven by which men might be saved. Cast out demons and pray for the sick that they may be healed in Jesus' name. If this program is a blessing to you and you would like to take part in this harvest of men's souls, join with us and attack the hosts of hell by donating any amount online at www.omegamanradio.com.
How you doing tonight?
Okay. I'm blessed, and yourself?
Dr. Sabrina, I'm doing good. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here tonight and be with you. Everybody, welcome aboard. We've got Dr. Sabrina Session. She's pastor of Miracle Internet Church in Jacksonville and host of Miracle Internet Radio. Dr. Sabrina, as we're getting started tonight, for those that may not have heard you speak, tell them how they can tune into your program. What days and times are you all broadcasting?
Well, we are on the internet live every Wednesday evening and every Friday evening at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time in the United States of America and worldwide. And on Sundays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time, in Jesus' name. Amen. And during Wednesdays and Fridays, we take guest call-ins, and we pray for people, and we pray for deliverance, and we pray for whatever the need may be. On Sunday, we have a regular Sunday service with Holy Communion. Amen. And so the Lord has so blessed us, and he's been so gracious to us, and Omega Man has been so supportive. You know, I just want to thank you, and I ask the Lord to bless you and your family and to bless the work that you're doing in the kingdom, because this is most important to the Lord, and I know that you're faithful to obey him, whatever he tells you to do.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Sister, would you like to open us in prayer before you bring the word?
Yes, I will. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, we take authority, dominion, and power over Satan, the strong man. In the name of Jesus Christ, we bind his works, his wickedness, his evil, all of his works that are in the earth, we bind in Jesus' name. We bind his agents. We bind his satanic agendas, all his evil agents, all the evil spirits that follow him, all of his underlings. We cancel all of their demonic assignments and satanic agendas against the righteous in the name of Jesus Christ. We take the territory from Satan in Jesus' name. We bind every form of godliness which denies the power of Jesus Christ. And we come into agreement as the body of Christ with God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And we come out of agreement with Satan and all of his demonic ways in Jesus' name. We close and seal all portals, all channels, all open doors of access to the enemy. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we bind the wicked principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and all spiritual wickedness in high places. We bind the demons and workers of darkness in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. And we bind the sources of all witchcraft attacks, and we return the attacks onto the heads of the devils that bring to them to cling to them for eternity. We bind the prince of the power of the air, and we return his powers to Jesus Christ. We bind the Lord of the flies and his agents, and we place them under the feet of the Lord Jesus. We bind all transference of evil spirits. We bind all demons sent forth to intimidate, harass, manipulate, lie against, mock, wear down, infect, destroy, spy, sabotage, hinder, besmirch, block, distract, confuse, pervert, stifle, curse, expose, and stop and assassinate and reproach and reduce the effectiveness of the righteous in Jesus Christ. And we return and loose these attacks to the senders according to the covenant in Jesus' name. Father, we rejoice with you that our names are written in heaven, and we bind every spirit that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood atonement on the cross of Calvary. We thank you, Father, that you've given us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against him. Jesus Christ is our commander in chief, in whom we serve and obey. And Father, we thank you for your very presence in our midst, because your word declares that when two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst. Lord, we plead the merits of the shed blood of Jesus over this broadcast and over all who are listening or will come to listen, and all of its participants, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for your wall of fire around us from Zechariah 2 and 5 with your very glory in the midst. We thank you for the armor of God. We thank you for the liberty that comes in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we give you praise, Father, and we bless the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said amen and amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, saints, tonight, the Lord wants to talk to us about an extremely serious subject, and there's no way of getting around it. He's very adamant about this. He's got something to say. And so if you don't have an ink pen or a pencil or something to write with, I encourage you to get that and your King James Version of the Bible, because the Lord wants to really talk to us tonight about a very serious subject. Because let me tell you something, if for any reason, under any circumstances, you choose to leave the Lord for a season, you must realize that you may not be able to get back with him. You know, some people think, oh, I can just go do this and then I can repent, excuse me, and then it will be okay. Not in this day and time. In this day and time, you might repent, but you might not make it back. You might do this, you know, Lord, I'm so sorry, blah, blah, blah. But you might make it back. These are precarious and wicked and evil days that we live in. And I think those of us that have paid any attention to what's been going on, we know this. We know that evil is abounding everywhere. I mean, everywhere. It's possible that you could go out during this season and not get back in. This is not the season to want to have your little fling of fun. This isn't that time. This is the time to literally have your nose to the grindstone, and so to speak, and to keep your focus on the Lord and on what he wants you to do, and obeying him and developing your relationship with him and building faith. This is what this season is for the believer. The believer is to grow and become strong. The believer is to grow in the power of the Lord and his might. This is not a time for relaxation or pleasure or just keeping up with the news. That's not what this is. All these people want to talk about, oh, and things are going to go back to the way they really, they are never going back there. We need to wake up. It's not going back. It's going on toward the end. It's not going back. Things will finally get back to normal. No. You might go through the motions, but things are not going back. The Bible doesn't say that it ever does. We're going to keep progressing, just as the Bible declares that it will. And it's going to go all the way to the end. So if you're not preparing actively to go all the way to the end with the Lord, you're already in trouble. You really are. And so you need to take notes, and you need to recast this broadcast if you need to listen again, because you need to take what the Lord has to say to heart tonight. Amen. So the Lord wants to talk about the best antidote. The best antidote. An antidote is a remedy designed for the purpose of counteracting a poison if it is ingested. You see, a poison has the ability to destroy you from the inside out. It can kill you. And so antidotes are very important. They're not just something to have lying around the house. They're there in case of emergency. And in the life of many Christians, that's where we are, a state of emergency. In spiritual terms, the antidote can work against an evil or undesirable condition. So let us take a look at an evil and most undesirable condition to hear what the Lord will give as our antidote. Saints everywhere are usually faced with several of the issues or symptoms that lead to this spiritual illness. And so among them is quitting when the going gets tough. Now, how many of us in the last year or so has contemplated just throwing your hands up and quitting because it's just too hard, it's just too much? You've been facing this wave of witchcraft coming against the body of Christ. All that fighting during the election period. All that keeping up with the latest thing so you could stay a step ahead of what the devil was doing. How many of us have just thrown their hands up and said, God, will this ever change? Well, the Bible says that we can't just throw our hands up. He's our blessed hope. We throw our hands up in praise and adoration to him, but not in quitting. You see, the only remedy for quitting is not quitting. God can do all kinds of things in our world, in our lives, in our atmosphere, in our sphere of influence. He's God Almighty. He has almighty power. He rules the universe. The heavens do rule, you know. And so, if we quit, what remedy is there but not to quit? Let's take a good look at the scriptures for a moment. In Colossians 4:14, we're looking at a gentleman named Demas. And Demas was accompanying Luke, the physician, doing work for the Lord. They were out in groups doing work for the Lord. So in this passage in Colossians, we see Demas. He's a disciple of the faith, and he's working alongside Luke. Well, that's where he is for the moment. Evidently, trouble comes, because the Bible says that if you follow Jesus, you're going to be persecuted. There's no question about it. You will receive persecution and suffering. There will be sorrow, grief, and pain. This is not a cakewalk. This comes with difficulty. And Jesus said, if you deny him before others, he would deny you before the Father. So you have to face the tough times that come. In ministry, you must have a mental toughness to make it through. A mental toughness. You have to have a mind that you're going to do this. Regardless of what is required, you're going to meet it. In everyday life, you have to have that too. You know, the old people used to say, you have to have a made-up mind to serve the Lord. Because hell will release an onslaught against you to stop you. Why? Because we have the potential to stop him, to stop the enemy. And so, he comes against us with everything he has. So by the time we get to 2 Timothy chapter 4, we see the following. Paul is saying, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me. Demas? Demas was on fire for God. He was going around with Luke. But Demas hath forsaken. He's turned and walked away. And why did this happen? It says, having loved this present world. And he's departed into Thessalonica. He's forsaken. Not he left to go on an assignment. No, forsaken. He walked away from the faith. It got too tough for him. It was more than what he had planned on. You know, when we make these commitments in life, we like to think things are going to go a certain way. And when they don't, when the situation comes about that things are not working out the way we thought or had planned or had desired for them to work out, then we have to reach a conclusion. Some of us got married, had plans, worked on those plans together, and then after many years, suddenly those plans aren't working. Suddenly someone doesn't want to go any further in this journey. Suddenly someone has changed their mind and their position, and they no longer want to walk with you in this journey of life. They leave you. They abandon you. They give you up. Well, that's what Demas did. He left and abandoned the ministry. He left Paul. I don't know what he had to say to the Lord when he finally left this life, and neither does the Bible show that he came back and became a part of the ministry. You see, COVID provided an exit for some people. As terrible as that sounds, it's the truth. COVID let some people out of what they had been doing their whole life, going to church every Sunday. They found something else to do now. They have something else to take up their time. They're not listening to some broadcast, some gospel broadcast. No, that's not what they're doing. They have something else that has filled in that time slot. And they aren't thinking about the kingdom anymore. You see, by the time a few of the very tough experiences come along, we see that he's fled the ministry and he's gone back into the world. There are a lot of people that shook out of the church when COVID came by. It was the wind that blew them out the door. And that's regrettable. You see, Demas' problem was he still loved this present world. That had not worked out of his life. He had not come to the point that he didn't still have a deep, passionate desire for things that he knew in the world. And that's happened to many a believer. No matter, you know, we think, oh, they're so gifted and they've got this and this and this and so much to offer the body of Christ. But you never know what's in a heart. But the Lord does. The Bible says that the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? Well, what antidote for that is there? Well, you could go before the Lord and ask him to judge your heart. And he will show you what's in your heart. If you really mean all those proclamations and prayers and declarations that you said, or if that was just your religious thing to do, or if it seemed to be good at the time, but when the going gets tough and it gets hard and it gets pressing and painful and everything that's not desirable, where are you going to be found? Because just as surely as we breathe, the persecution against the church is going to continue and increase. Are you going to stick with it till the end? Or are you going to jump off the boat somewhere You're going to take a leap off the old ship of Zion? Remember when Paul was out there being shipwrecked and he said, you know, they were trying to let down life preservers and whatever they had. And he said, no, you don't understand. We're going to all be saved. The ship's going to be broken up, but we got to hang on till the end. How many are willing to hang on to the end? Because the real nasty, dirty part is just getting started. It's going to rear up some more. This is just the beginning whiffs of it. It's really going to be nasty. Well, I don't like name calling, and I don't like this, and I don't like that. I have news for you. The kingdom is not for people who don't want to get their hands dirty. It's for people who live real lives for Jesus Christ. And as Catherine Kuhlman said, it cost me everything. Well, let's talk about it a little bit more. You see, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says, love not the world. It's not a suggestion, it's a command from the throne of God. Do not love the world. Do not love the things that are in the world. Pull your affections out of the world system. And many of us love convenience. It's not just nice to have it, we love it. It's got to be there for us. We've got to have everything just so. We're not willing to stay in this neighborhood because we don't feel safe. Well, either the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, Paul, and a whole lot more is with you or he is not. Wherever you are, he can protect you. He is your defense. But you can't live in this neighborhood because it's not just so. Not only that, but you can't run around the church praising the Lord because the shoes you wore hurt your toes. Saints, it's time to get real. It's time to truly live for Jesus if you're ever going to do it, you see. You see, saints, if the world is still in your heart, the troubles and difficulties of the Christian walk will weed you out. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4, the Bible talks about people in this hour, that they will be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. It didn't say they didn't love God at all. It's just that they love their pleasures more. They're tightly wound up with their pleasure devils. And it outweighs the love of God that they do have. It's a dangerous place. Very dangerous. You see, this condition is also a sign of having forsaken your first love. You say, you can't be serious about that. Oh, yes, I am. You see, Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That's not something nice to hear. It's what must be done in your life, in the life of every believer. It must be accomplished. That at some point you have to arrive at loving the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. And if you're busy doing that, if that's your goal, if that's where you're trying to reach, you don't have room for the world on your plate. It's already flooded with you loving the Lord. There's no room on the platter for the world. But if you've made room in your heart and life for the world, you're slacking off on the love of God. You know, the scriptures talk about come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. You know, when they came out of Egypt, a type of the world, they had to be separate unto the Lord. They had to forego worldly pleasures because he brought them out into the wilderness to see if they would obey him or not. To see if they would worship him and not the gods of this one, that one, and the other one. But where do we find ourselves today? We find ourselves worshiping everything but God, the true and living God. In fact, we've even made up a substitute Jesus, a substitute Holy Spirit. Church, we're in trouble. The waters of suffering are not just outside the old ship of Zion, they're inside. And inside some of our lives. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, the word reads, "And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." That's what God's expecting of every Christian. Not just those that are in what we call, what we label as full-time ministry. If your ministry is to your family, to pray and fast and seek the Lord that they might be saved, that's a full-time ministry, believe me. Because they have plenty of nonsense going on in their lives. And verse 22, "If ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them." See, there's some doing in this. You have to do them. You have to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him. But if what's going on in the world fascinates you, you're not doing enough cleaving. If things of the world, you know, the latest restaurant and the color that they brought out this year and all these physical things that we have a tendency to clamor for. Prosperity, you're still after getting your retirement account to have just what you want in it. You want to be a millionaire. You want to own this and you want to own that. If you're still on the world's pursuits, you don't have time to love the Lord. No one's saying you can't earn a living and you can't provide for your family. That's not what's being stated. Where is your heart? What's in your heart? Where is your heart as far as the kingdom is concerned? In Joshua chapter 23, verse 11, the word tells us to take good heed to ourselves. Pay attention to what's going on. Don't just go through life every day, okay, time to get up to bake the donuts, time to get up to make the donuts. No. Pay attention to what's really going on. "Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God." It's important to keep your love for the Lord alive. Or else you're already cold and backslidden. Already you've walked away from the Lord. You've forsaken your first love. That's punishable. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. "Nevertheless, Jesus Christ the righteous says, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." It's like you left Jesus standing at the altar. That's not right. "Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." Do you know how many children and people and grown-ups and young adults are in church showing up on Sundays or not showing up on Sundays or whatever they're doing, whether they're watching it online, And they're just basically doing what they socially do, go through the motions, but their heart is not hard after God. They're not going after him with everything in them. And there were some that used to and don't do it anymore. They don't think, well, I've done that before. What? Seriously? If you're not going forward with the Lord, then you're going backward, because there's no middle ground. There's no demilitarized zone. You've become captured by the enemy. And you've got to shake yourself at some point and say, self, I am wrong. I'm wrong for giving my attention to video games all the time and not immersing myself in the word during this hour so that I can be prepared, better prepared to win souls to the kingdom. If that's what you're doing, the place of repentance for you is Psalm 51. That's your antidote. Repent. You've grown cold on the Lord. You've put self first. You know, children, they wallow in the world of self. That's what children do. But when you grow up in God, self is not supposed to be on the throne. The Lord Jesus is supposed to be on the throne of your heart, not the self life, not the flesh. That's right. Not the flesh, not the I want this next thing and I want that next thing and when I retire, I'm going to buy a... No. You're not chasing those things anymore. You're not chasing after whatever the lottery ticket can buy. You realize the seriousness of where we are in time. You know, the Bible says the sons of Issachar knew what the times were and what ought to be done. What they ought to do. But God's people are not that way. They're caught up in some of everything. They're not keeping their eyes open. They're not watching and praying. Some are, but too many are not. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. Jesus says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. You're not on fire for him, and you're not ice cold. You're something else. He said he wishes you were cold or hot. So then because you've become lukewarm, and you're neither hot on fire for him or cold as ice, he's going to spew you out of his mouth. Think this, projectile vomiting. Spew. It means something you have in you that you want it out, and you want it out badly. It's nauseating. This is serious, saints. Saints, when we experience the turbulence of life on earth while being born again, it can be shocking. It can be. It can shock us beyond our imaginations. It can be more painful than anything we've ever experienced. It can be downright traumatic. It can be a fiery trial so hot that it leaves us feeling scorched and burned. It can actually make you want to run away. But God. You know, when you're in the midst of a fiery trial, sometimes you have to get a hold of your thought life. Because what you're focusing on is the trauma you're going through at the time. That's all your senses can perceive, is the shock and assault that keeps coming and keeps coming. But you need to call on your Savior and ask him to pull you back so you can see the bigger picture. So you can start to see how he's handling what's happening to you. And realize that this is not all there is. that this too will pass. Maybe not in the next 5 minutes or in the next 5 months or in the next year, but this too will pass. And when you come through the fire, you'll be the Christian that you've never been before if you go through it trusting the Lord. Yes, saints, we need to face the fact that some of us have never let go of the lust in our hearts that God doesn't want us to have. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. A snare is a trap that's been set, and it's been covered up so you don't really realize that it's a trap. And then you go for it, and then bang, the trap closes, and you are caught, and you can't free yourself. And that you fall into many foolish and hurtful lusts. These things are so foolish, so blinding, and so hurtful that they have the ability to drown people in destruction and lead them into perdition. Who wants that? Was that what you hoped for when you came to Christ? That one day you would desert him? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. But some of us are so busy doing our busy that we don't take heed to what's actually going on. And the Bible warns us that that's dangerous, to allow ourselves to be seduced by the world again. Seeing as we have been completely set free, we've overcome them, we've gotten away from them, to be pulled back into the tides of wickedness and evil. We clean escaped them. We have to pay attention, saints. This is dangerous. It's dangerous not only for us, it's dangerous for our loved ones as well. You see, just like most humans, we want all of life to go our way. Now, we know that's impractical. It's not even realistic, but that doesn't mean we don't want it. But you see, when we signed up with the Lord of Glory, he said to us the following, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Jesus had that temptation. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said to his father, "You know, you can remove this cup, this horrible thing that I have to go through. You can take this away if you will. But nonetheless, not what I will, but your will be done. I'm submitting my will to you. I'm putting my will away. I'm human, just like they're human. But I have to go through this. I have to face it." Everything that came with going to before Pilate and going before Pilate and being mistreated and being abused, physically abused, he took it all. And we don't think we should have to go through anything. But saints, that's not the truth of the gospel. We're going to experience some things one way or the other. And to tell you the truth, some of us really need to toughen up. The first thing that goes wrong, we're ready to jump off the old ship of Zion. Let me tell you something. Even if you make it home on just a board of the old ship of Zion, you better hold on to that board. You see, we'll pray in a minute. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You see, as we go along and come to realize what we have given up to follow the Lord, don't think that the enemy isn't going to come by to rub it in our faces and present it as a temptation to desert our Heavenly Father. He is. You see, we've been blessed in the United States and in other countries to only experience a certain kind of persecution, wherein we know that in other nations, it's life or death for them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So they're going to come take your guns away, are they? Is Jesus going to be your protection? Is he going to be your strong tower? Is he going to be your defense at that moment? Have you thought about it? Do you know what you're going to do? Have you discussed it with the Father? You know they're hunting us these days. Remember the early Christians? They lived in caves. What happens if for suddenly you have to leave suburbia? Remember Lot's wife? She looked back. Have you considered what you're going to do? You know, in Hebrews 11, the Bible says that they say such things, they plainly seek a country. The early Christians were seeking a place that many of us act like we've forgotten about. And if they had been mindful of where they came from and what they had to give up, they might have found opportunity to go back. But you see, there's this church song that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back, no turning back at all. And it's hard to find saints these days that aren't in compromise in some area of their lives. There are some, trust me, but not as many as there used to be. You see, only you can decide if you're going to give up whatever it is that keeps you preoccupied with the things of this life and the world so that it prevents you from going all the way with Jesus with everything in you. Have you led anyone to the Lord in the last year or two? Well, have you? Or do you just pass people by and think because you have a mask on your face, you can't lead anybody to the Lord? Well, he that winneth souls is wise. Remember Lot's wife? Remember her? You know, here she was in the middle of it, her own family exodus. She's coming out. Her life is being saved. It's being preserved. And then she's given instructions, don't look back. Whatever you do, just don't look back. Some of us have been given those instructions, but what do we do? But then she looked back at Sodom and Gomorrah and what she had known and the life she had there. And it didn't work. She suddenly became a pillar of salt. The judgment came. And since God is no respect of persons, saints, shouldn't he be judging us for looking back? Shouldn't that happen? You see, God is very serious about the days that are upon us. He's very serious about it, because some of us are not going to make it out of our own foolishness. Psalm 73, beginning with verse 2. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. My goodness, saints. Excuse me. These are things that we should be over by now. If you've been in Christ for 5 years, you shouldn't be looking at the world anymore. You should have gotten past the world a while back. But if you're still hung up there, you need to call on Jesus and ask him to come rescue you and deliver you from yourself, because you have become your worst enemy. Some of us, it's not the devil that's our worst enemy. We are our own worst enemy. We refuse to look at self in light of the scriptures and be truthful with ourselves and say, self, guess what? You don't know what day or what hour he's returning. And he says you better be ready, but you know you're not. You're not even making an effort to move in that direction. That's dangerous. And it has serious consequences. Jesus said that he that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the cares of this world, trying to make it in this world, the deceitfulness of riches, they come and choke the word right out. Choke, stranglehold. They choke the word. And it doesn't bring forth the fruit in the life that it's supposed to. That's dangerous. It's a hard place to be. It's a very hard place to be. So when we agree to reign with him in heaven, we should seriously count the cost. Because it is as it was with Jesus Christ and all of the true disciples. It costs you everything. And see, we've been in this creature comfort society for a little too long. We don't want to give up our creature comforts for the kingdom. We've got to have them, you see. We think they're essential for living. We can't even stand to come out of, I use a card, a plastic card, to do everything. I'm online to pay all my bills, and anyone who breaks into my computer sooner or later will know all my business. We can't break away from that long enough to go back to checks and money orders just to pull out of the system some. You know, that's their system. We can't do that. That might inconvenience us. We might have to buy a stamp and go by the post office. We're too addicted to the quote-unquote good life. But saints, hard times are coming. We can smell the smoke now. Rough times are coming. We haven't seen anything yet. This persecution is going to turn up. The Bible guarantees that it's going to do that, because this thing has got to go through to completion. What our Heavenly Father has warned us is going to happen, it's going to happen. No, you're not just going to fly away later on and you're not going to see any of it and smell any of it and know that it's disgusting and sickening. Look at all the horrible things that are coming out in the news. You got this island, you go there, and you do sexually perverted things to people who didn't know you were that awful. Come on. Wickedness is at an all-time high in our society. And then you're liable to be in witchcraft too. And then you astral project everywhere you can. You get all in people's dreams in the middle of the night. You do sexually perverted things to people who are just trying to get some sleep. And to top it all, you're getting paid by their family members to do it to them. This is a disgustingly sick society. More wickedness is coming out every day than you can probably stand to listen to. I know that's the case with me some days. So let's go see what Jeremiah has to say about how we have managed this. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Why is my servant spoiled? Is he a homeborn slave? Are we a slave to technology? Are we a slave to convenience? Are we a slave to having everything just so? Hast thou not procured this unto thyself, and that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God when he led thee by the way? Well, he says later on that thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord of hosts. Saints, it's a rough day when we're not walking with the Lord the way he should. We're not getting answers to prayers like we used to either. Some people are. God's raining down blessings on them because they're lining their lives up. They made a decision. The Bible says this. I'm supposed to have it. It's supposed to look like this. I must do what I must do so that God can answer my prayers. Some of us don't care if God doesn't answer them. We're going to go out and find us a solution somewhere else. And if he doesn't come fast enough, why, we try to micromanage the Holy Spirit. Well, saints, you see, it's something we have to learn. There's something we have to learn. The Bible says, let me just tell you what God's saying in short, you see. He wants to know from us, ask yourself. He says, you shook off his yoke and you broke away from his ties. You were defiant and you didn't want to obey him. And so you found you a new idol. You found something to do with yourself other than Jesus Christ and pursue him. You got to the point where you went to church for the social reasons or because you could find a new client. It wasn't about Jesus anymore. God wants to know how could this have happened because he did everything he could to cultivate you rightly. But it seems that you prefer this degenerate race. He said, what's going to wash you clean? And you said, well, Lord, I don't have idols. He said, go take a good look at yourself. Look at your heart. What comes first? Does my word come first? Some point you have to face the awful sins you've done. And you can't keep acting. I hate to use this expression, but I will since it's in the Bible. Like a whoremonger. You can't keep running after this and that. And this and that, and this and that, so that you can have the life you think you ought to have. At some point, you got to realize what you've become. At some point, you got to come out of love with all these strange things that you desire. At some point, you got to wake up. And when your time of trouble comes, what's the Lord going to do? Because you've forsaken him and you're running after something that was down in your heart that you didn't want excavated so that you could be cleansed. Your children are in captivity. They're doing some of everything under the sun. But are you fasting and praying and calling out to the Lord to deliver them? No. Well, saints, you can't just disown God like that. It brings consequences, painful consequences. You can't spend your time plotting and scheming how you're going to get to the next level. At some point, you need to turn around and think about where you are and what's about to happen here in the earth. And you've got to decide, is Jesus worth the fight? Is it worth it to you to live in heaven? Not just by and by, but to live with the Lord right now when it's dirty and nasty and hostile and getting worse every day. Is it worth it all? You've got to decide that. You got to quit flirting with what you know just isn't right and not pure at all. No, you can't be friends with the world and truly be wheat in the body of Christ. You got to make a choice. You got to make a choice. And it's going to be pretty painful if you don't decide soon. Because it's going to get rougher. So, the Bible says in this scripture that you know quite well. He says in 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, will get off of their presumption and their pride and their arrogance and their self-assurance and humble themselves and pray, earnestly pray, because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And seek my face, not my hand, my face, he says. And turn, here's the part, and turn from their wicked ways. You see, we're the ones holding up revival because we want the good life. Not the life that brings the revival. See, you got to give up something somewhere. You can't just get it all down here. It's not going to work that way. It's going to cost us something to have this revival. But are you willing to pay that price? Only you can answer that. He says, when you do these things, when you humble yourself, when you pray, when you seek his face and turn, T-U-R-N, you have to do this from your own wicked ways, then he will hear from heaven, not before, and forgive our sins and heal our land. We want him to run down to the end and heal our land. No, he wants us to go back to the beginning and do what he said to do. And that's the challenge tonight, saints. That's the antidote to what's bothering all of us. We haven't lined up with the word to his pleasing. But you see, it's our responsibility to do so. It's a duty we owe to Him, to ourselves, to our loved ones, to our communities, to our nation, to our world. We're supposed to be the salt of the world. But if the salt loses its savor, what do you have? So, I present you with the word of the Lord tonight. The best antidote, obedience to the word of God. God bless you and we love you. Amen.
Powerful word tonight. Wow. I tell you what, this was meat of the word tonight, folks. We're live with Dr. Sabrina Sessions. Sister Sabrina, would you like to pray tonight for us? And then, of course, before we close, we're going to get you to give out your contact information. Folks, please share this with everyone you can. Dr. Sabrina, back to you.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we, your disobedient children, come before you tonight, acknowledging that not only are we disobedient, we're downright rebellious and hard-headed. This is not the first time, Lord, you've called out to us and said, come to me, come to me, come to me. And what did we do? We said, okay, Lord, but I have this and this and this and this and this and this and this to do. Lord, tonight we hear you, but we're coming a little different than before. We're not going to do the gloss over, oh, forgive all my sins, Lord. No, Lord. Tonight, we're going to begin to take an accounting of the truth of our lives. And we're going to allow this word to find its place in our hearts and in our spirits. We're going to allow this word to rebuke us and to reprove us and to start the process of correction in our lives. We're going to allow this word to take hold of us and move us further in Romans 12:2. Because our minds need to be changed, Lord, and our eyes need to be opened. We need to see the pit that we have fallen into. We need to smell the burnings of our children to Moloch. We need to know that we have run so far from you. When 9/11 happened, Lord, we showed up in church, and 2 weeks later, right back on Fifth Avenue. Lord, call us back. Call us back again. Call us back again. Holy Spirit, forgive us for grieving you. We have grown cold without realizing it. Lord Jesus, how could we forsake such a great salvation as this? We become unprofitable servants. But Lord, there is hope in you. You will have mercy on your people when we truly repent. Lord, draw us back to how we used to live, to fasting and praying and seeking your face, and not allowing covetousness to sneak back in. We used to be more diligent than this. We used to watch over each other's souls. We used to care. But now we're just as selfish and self-centered as the world. We used to feel clean inside, but then we wanted to be accepted by everybody. So we started changing everything about us to make us acceptable to the heathen. We even changed the Bible that we were using. Grandma's King James Version just wasn't good enough anymore. We needed modern vernacular. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. Forgive us. For these sins, Jesus died. We ask you to have mercy on us, Lord, and to help us find our way back to you. We used to be so on fire for you that we would pray all night long. Now we're finished in 5 minutes. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us. And bring us back to that real love and true relationship that you called us to many years ago. Take us back. Take us back, Lord, to where we first knew you. Remind us of how it was when we first received you, when we first believed. Help us to see all these things that we hold on to in the true light, Lord, that they're really nothing. Really nothing. They haven't made us, you know, each program that comes by is declaring it's going to be the one to take over the world and turn them all to Christians and on and on and on. And then we'll be reigning. No, it's not like that. We don't want to suffer, Jesus. We don't want to suffer anything, not even inconvenience. We've become so worldly that it's impossible to tell us from the world. Lord, have mercy on us. Draw us back, Lord. Draw us back. Draw us back to your heart, Lord Jesus. Bring us back to where we actually believe you again. Irisidere brucale de onda regise be. Erla la rio sorro gulere di anda rocuho sitere mane. Yerra catarabara cusa ishatarabrekia. My people want it all. They want everything the world has to offer. But they don't want to walk in my ways, saith the Lord. How? 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 How can I help you if you won't turn, says the Lord? Saints, it's time. I know you don't want to be like some saints used to be. Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the evening, Jesus at supper time. But that's the only way to live. That's the only way to reign. He says if we don't suffer with him, we won't reign with him. We need to pray not only for ourselves, saints. We need to pray for the rest of the body of Christ. Lord Jesus, have mercy. Have mercy on us, Lord. Have mercy. We've lost our vision. We go about religious functions, but we've lost our true heart for God. We don't put altar rails in churches anymore. We don't even want a cross on the building. Oh, Lord Jesus, have mercy on us, Father. Lord, there were places in the Bible where you saved Israel, not because of them, but for your own name's sake. Help us, Lord. Help us to see what we've allowed to happen to us, to the generations that followed us. Because now we have generations of children that were raised in church that don't know our God. They don't know our God. Help us, Lord. Amen.
Powerful word tonight. Folks, God is listening to this program. He spoke through his servant, Dr. Sabrina Sessions, who brought the word tonight. Are we going to listen is the question and obey the Lord? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Good news is it's not too late for us that are still alive. We can make a turn. Dr. Sabrina, I want you to tell people how they can be part of the ministry of Miracle Internet Church, both on the ground and in the air.
Amen. Well, Miracle Internet Church is just that. We're an internet church where the miracle working power of God moves all the time. It was founded by Dr. Pat Holliday, and I became her assistant many years ago. And when she chose to leave the earth and go on home to receive her reward, I became the pastor of Miracle Internet Church. I do believe that God decided before I was born that this was what I was going to do. And she concurred with that, as a matter of fact. And so our website is www.miracleinternetchurch.com. Miracleinternetchurch.com. And everything about our ministry really is on the website. We have a chat room where the saints greet each other in the name of the Lord when we have live broadcasts. And our live broadcasts are on Wednesday evenings and Friday evenings at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time in the United States. People from all over the world, there are at least 25 other nations where there are people listening to our broadcast. During their time zone, they recast them because we have a link for all of our archived sermons for the over 10 years. And we ministered a minimum of twice a week. So we have quite a backlog of sermons, Dr. Pat and myself, for you to recast as many times as you desire to listen. We also have a local church in Jacksonville, Florida. In fact, people are coming to get baptized. We encourage you to join us on Sundays, if you will, at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Our call-in number during the week is on our website. In fact, we even have the Bible. If you need to listen to the Bible, it's on the website. We encourage you to join us. Yes, we cast out devils. Yes, the sick are healed. Yes, we do the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're carrying on God's legacy of love that he left to us. Yes, you are welcome. Please bring your friends, your enemies, your in-laws, your outlaws, whatever you have, bring them with you. Because everyone needs the word of the Lord. Everyone needs their soul saved. Everyone needs to come and have a relationship, a live and vibrant relationship with our Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. Everyone needs salvation. Amen? And we invite you now and welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Dr. Sabrina, if someone would like to support the work of Miracle Net Church, is there a way they can do that? Do you have PayPal?
Yes, we do have PayPal. And when you come to our website, right across the banner, it says Giving at Miracle Internet Church. And if you would like to mail it to us, there are instructions there to do that. If you pull it up on your cell phone, there are three white bars across the back black ground. That's your link, and it opens up all the other links on the webpage. We take PayPal. We don't take turkeys because there's no way for us to receive them, but we do take PayPal and, you may mail your checks or money orders to us. And that information is all on the website. Amen. And we pray that you come to join us and receive of the rich word of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And we just love Omega Man.
Hey, we love you too. All of you at Miracle Internet Church, you're all doing a great job for Jesus. Dr. Sabrina, again, Wednesday and Friday night, what time can people come over and be part of it?
6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Amen?
Folks, be
Amen.
A part of it right there on Blog Talk Radio. And if they miss the shows live, can they get them in the archive there from Blog Talk?
Yes, they can. They can listen all the way back to the very first show with Dr. Pat.
Fantastic. Dr. Sabrina, we love you. We'll see you again soon. Great word tonight.
God bless and thank you. God bless you all. We love you.
That was Dr. Sabrina Sessions.